having lots of blankets on me. Like I like watching TV. And I always think it's weird because at work, people will turn their heat up to like 75.
Yeah.
And
that's like a summer day.
And when Greg and I were at the hotel last weekend, I turned the heat way up because there's no blankets. And I just brought like t-shirt and shorts to wear to bed. So we're sitting there watching TV and it was like a suite. So we were on the couch. We're sitting there watching TV and it's freezing.
I keep hotel rooms very cold.
Really?
Yeah. The kids hate it. Mike hates it because I put it at like 68 and then I like bundle up in all the blankies.
Yeah. 68 is not cold.
See, I think it's cold.
The concert was a ton of fun.
Was it?
So much fun.
Well, I looked at all of your pictures and it looked really cool.
I think I might be a Satanist now.
That's okay. I support that.
I think.
I mean.
Pastor Etheridge was right. And the music just got to me.
It spoke to me.
Yep. And now, like, whoops, Satanist.
Wow. Was that line from The Possession of Michael King? If you listen, it was from. Because we were talking about that line and I couldn't think of it. Like, don't listen because he will never let you go or something. That's going to be you.
Well, Ghost and Volbeat, honestly. Twin Temple was there, but we like missed the beginning of that show because we were drinking in the room, as you could see from my photos.
Yeah.
Of me acting ridiculous in the street.
Acting a fool.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Someone stopped me in the bathroom, like waiting in line, and she's like, I love your coat, and wanted to take a picture with me, like in line in the bathroom.
It's like Comic-Con.
I'm like,
I love your costume. And you take a picture.
Well, it kind of was I mean, whenever I get dressed outside of like jeans and a t-shirt or leggings and a hoodie, that's a costume.
That's a costume.
I'm dressing up like
yes.
I'm performing in some way.
Yeah. That extrovert personality needs to come out.
I have to be somebody else now. I have to be okay with people taking pictures with me in concert stadium bathrooms.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Hi, Oberon. Do you want my hair tie?
Probably.
Tax. Here you go.
Oh, no.
Damn it. Oberon, you fool.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, he's looking at me like he had nothing to do with that. Mike? Oberon, just clawed.
It's all right. Do you need more?
Yes. Oberon just pawed at the table, pulling the tablecloth, tipping over my drink.
And I just put that tablecloth on, too.
It does look very fresh.
Of course.
I mean, it's just white cloth, so it's not like it's going to.
It's fine.
Stain anything, and it's lemon fresh, so
perfect. I'm drinking a lemon LaCroix right now.
I like that flavor. I always forget about it though.
It's pretty good.
As I clean up my mess, off to a good start.
Off to a great start.
Yep, today's a good day.
It's Friday.
I mean, Friday is really not.
It does. It has never meant anything to you though, because you always work the weekends.
Actually, today is like my Saturday.
Okay.
And tomorrow's my Sunday.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
That's not bad.
It's bad on like Saturday night when everyone wants to like go out and do stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, no, guys, I got to work at 9 a.m.
Well, working in the service industry, I mean, you're just going to be working weekends.
It's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, when I worked at Gander Mountain, though, I worked Monday through Friday.
Whatever.
I know. I sweet talked my boss and was like, could I work Monday through Friday?
Well, at a hotel, that's just not going to happen.
For sure.
Yeah.
Skewed off days.
It's not bad. And I mean, I'm thinking in the summer too, it'll be all right because people do stuff on Friday nights. And
yeah.
Cookouts on Saturdays. And
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I got most of it.
You did a really good job. Anyway. Right. Okay. Hello, everyone.
Are we recording, Mike?
I think we've been recording. Oh, anytime he like shuts the door, I'm like, oh yeah, we're recording.
I can't see what he's doing behind because he's directly behind me.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to Israel and New Jersey and the World Health Organization in the UK in World War Z.
Okay, yeah.
All of those places.
I would have just said, like,
we're Philly. Going global.
Yeah, going global.
Oh, so fun. All right. Anyway, I do want to point out this is not going to be a comparison.
I wanted to try to read the book before this podcast. And yeah. I didn't have time.
No.
I didn't get around to it.
I thought about doing that too. Because when the last time we recorded, I was like, yeah, I'm going to try to read the book again. And I just never got around to it. But Aaron and I have both read the book. We love the book.
I actually saw him at Northern.
You got me a signed poster and I still have it.
I had a book autographed too.
Yeah.
And it was funny because while we were waiting in line, Greg came from work.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have seen him twice because I don't think Greg was with me the first time.
Yeah.
Greg came from work and he was wearing like his paramedic outfit.
We're talking about Max Brooks, the author of World War Z.
yeah. He was at Northern. We went to see him. Greg came straight from work, so he was in his paramedic clothes. And someone asked him if it was like a costume for like.
Yes. Yes, it is.
He's like, oh, yeah, this is my paramedic costume that I'm wearing to a zombie talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to read it. I just didn't have time.
But yeah, it's not going to be a comparison just because they are like nothing alike.
No. And I actually, when we saw Max Brooks speak, he was annoyed by the movie and how different it was.
Yes.
But then I read today.
He like warmed up to it.
That he mm-hmm. does like it, thinking of it as a totally separate like work with the same name.
Which is how I view any movie that is based off of a book. I just separate the two completely because.
Really?
Yeah. Because some books or like some films don't pick up a lot of the stuff that the books did. So I just try to separate the two.
Oh, I can't.
And
it's
I enjoy the movie as much as I enjoy the books.
I'm one of those people that sits there and I have to like bite my tongue so I'm not like, that didn't happen in the book. That person wasn't in the book.
Yeah, you are one of those people.
I am one of those. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, not a comparison one. Like we said, Max Brooks eventually warmed up to the movie. Originally, not a fan of it because it has nothing to do with his work.
Yeah.
So anyway, World War Z is a couple hours long. If you have a subscription to Hulu, you can get it for free. Otherwise, you can rent it on Amazon for $2.99.
I think it's on Tubi.
On Tubi?
Mm-hmm. Which is free.
Cool. It was directed by Mark Forster, who Brad Pitt essentially like he sought out Mark Forster to direct the film.
Mm-hmm.
The writers are Matthew Michael Carnahan, Drew Goddard, and Damon Lindelof.
Sure.
I put based on the novel by Max Brooks, but loosely
based. Sort of like how Texas Chainsaw is based off of like Ed Gein.
Yes. Premise, okay. Similar, but yeah. It stars Brad Pitt as Jerry. You might remember Brad Pitt from such wonderful cinematic adventures as Fight Club, Seven, and 12 Monkeys.
That's it?
And a lot of other things. I write down the things that
you
I like.
The things that you like, not like mm-hmm. 7 years in Tibet. Or...
No. Oh, God. If I listed off all of the movies that Brad Pitt was in, we would be here all night.
Fight Club is one of my favorites. That was the inspiration for my concert attire.
Marla Singer.
Big fur coat.
Yeah. Boots. And per usual, I did not look at how to pronounce names.
Good job.
Per use. Muriel Enos plays his wife, Karen. She was in Big Love and she's in Good Omens. Rachel, one of Brad Pitt's kids, is played by Abigail Hargrove. She was in The Butterfly Circus and The Firebird. This was actually her debut film. Sterling Jurens is also Brad Pitt's kid. She plays Constance. She was in The Conjuring 2 and 3 and Deception. Yeah. Jerry's colleague, Terry, is Fana McKenna. He was in Hotel Rwanda and Machine Gun Preacher.
What's his name in the film?
Terry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That I had to, like...
Listen hard.
Because it's written, like, theory, but Brad Pitt pronounces it Terry. Like, yeah. At the end of the film.
Yeah.
He says it. And then Andrew Fass... Oh, yeah. That's the name of the character. Elis Gabel plays Andrew Fassbeck, the disease scientist. He was in Game of Thrones and Interstellar. I don't know who he was in Game of Thrones, but...
Who?
Elis Gabel.
Let me see how that's spelled. I can't find it now.
There are a lot. I'm not going to read off everybody. Okay. I think the next person is the only other person I'm going to read off.
Okay. Oh, there's somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, you have David. Okay, never mind.
I do.
He's also in, The Green Mile.
Yeah. David Morse plays the ex-CIA agent that rips all of his teeth out. He was in 12 Monkeys and The Long Kiss Goodnight. And then I'm only going to say Peter Capaldi is the Who doctor. And he obviously is Doctor Who, and he was in Suicide Squad. It's just funny because he plays a Who doctor, and he was Doctor Who.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't watch Doctor Who, but I recognized him. Now I want to know who he was in Game of Thrones. That's going to bug me.
Yeah.
There was another...
Well, and sometimes, like, I write down, like, their character name, like, if I want to know and, like, bring it up, but I just didn't.
There was another actor that looked really familiar. One of the guys at, like, the military base that they gas up at.
Captain Speak. Head guy.
Who is that?
James Badge Dale. He was in Lord of the Flies and The Departed.
Oh, that's going to bug me.
Yeah.
Because
he's been in a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
Please don't look it. Are you going to look it up now?
It's going to bother me.
All right.
Just what?
Oh, he sent it. Good job, Mike.
He was one of the Dothraki. Thank you, Mike. It's just going to bother me. And I can picture it now. Yeah. Like, perfect. Okay. I feel better.
The only scene that I watched that involved the Dothraki was the gold crown scene.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. I just need to know.
Mike, make her watch Game of Thrones. Please.
Fine.
You can just fast forward when, like, the wolves die.
That's the only, like... I mean, there are a lot of sad parts, but that's why I didn't watch it.
That's the most saddest.
That's the most saddest. Anyway, let's...
We're
just butchering this whole thing today, I think.
You know what? I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care today. I'm kind of tired.
I know.
I didn't sleep well last night. I haven't had enough caffeine. You know, I'm doing okay. I did slam some chicken nuggets on the way here, and that helped.
Well, I think, too, in the next week, everything for us should pretty much die down. So we can get back to, like, a regular, like...
Life.
Except Florida.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing. Anyway, anywho.
Anyway.
Let's move along.
This won a Saturn Award for Best Thriller. And it also... I didn't even know that this was a thing. It won the AARP Movies for Grownups Award.
Shut up.
I don't even know what the fuck that is. Movies for Grownups, as opposed, like, for children.
All right.
The music was done by Marco Beltrami. He composed it. He also composed Fear Street, iRobot, Knowing, and Blade 2.
The music in it is pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it was filmed all over the place.
It's impossible to nail down, like, one.
Yeah, the budget for this went, like, out of control. It was produced by Brad Pitt's production company, mm-hmm. and he'd only done, like, small films, so this, like, got out of control, and they spent so much money. Even, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there was like tons of drama. Like one day filming was shut down for the whole day because the caterer did not provide enough food for like all the people that and like all the extras. And he wasn't getting along with the director at all. Like Brad Pitt wasn't.
Yeah.
Like they weren't speaking.
I feel like there's always drama.
This was like enough drama that it was like in magazines.
And he liked the director too.
In the beginning. Yeah. And then they like fired writers and like hired in new writers. Mm-hmm. It was just a disaster. Did you like the intro? So starting out, the intro just like went over a bunch of climate change while there was like some credit type stuff.
I did. Yeah. Because it was just like film footage of climate change. And it was a lot of like newscasters and stuff, like famous newscasters talking about how we're reaching and a point where we're not going to be able to come back from.
Yeah. It starts out with Brad Pitt and his wife. Jerry and
Karen.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're getting ready to go somewhere.
Yeah, they're getting ready. He is a stay-at-home dad now.
Yes.
And he drives them to school and work.
Yeah. It obviously gets into like what his career had been before he became a stay-at-home dad. Do you think he'd done that for long? Or do you think like once the kids were born, he's like I'm a stay-at-home dad? Like quit his job?
I think once the kids were born, he was just like, I can't be going into war zones anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
Brett, so it had been a few years.
Yeah, Jerry's was a UN investigator, so he had been, and I wrote this down too. He had been in the Liberian War. He investigated the Chechen war crimes, and he was on the ground in the Sri Lanka war in 2007. And I looked into these, and it was like
all hardcore shit.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of comes up later. He has the news on. He's making the kids pancakes, being a great stay-at-home mm-hmm. dad. On the TV, they are talking about how, like, martial law went into effect somewhere. And there's kind of, like, crazy news footage. I feel like even as fast as this spreads, he would have an idea, like, what was going on just by, like, watching the news.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could have happened overnight for how quickly it spreads. Well, and
the zombie virus in this film in particular spreads insanely quick.
And it is more virus than zombie.
Yes.
So, technically, it falls under, like, virus. Because that was, like, the big thing with 28 Days Later.
Yeah. That was a virus.
It was a virus. Mm-hmm. It kind of made you into a zombie.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a mix.
Yes.
In the book, they're slow moving zombies.
They changed it so much.
I know.
They were like Walking Dead zombies.
Yes.
In the book.
Mm-hmm. And the book also went, which I recommend anybody
read. For sure.
It's really good.
100%.
Brad Pitt's character kind of in it, which is what I would compare it to, travels and interviews people. He interviews survivors. And he goes into, like, how, like, what happened. Like, everyone started to move north to get away from the zombies. But as they moved north, they packed things that they wouldn't actually need, like their laptop and cameras and just random stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's really good. So there's news on this whole opening scene is just crazy.
It's very quick opener.
Yes. Like they get right to the point. It starts out all nice. They're eating breakfast, driving the kids to school. And he's stuck in traffic in like downtown
New Jersey.
I thought they're in Philadelphia.
Are they in Philadelphia? Maybe they make it to New Jersey.
Yes.
Okay. That's what it is.
They're stuck in traffic. They see all these helicopters and they turn on the radio and they're talking about a rabies outbreak.
Yeah.
What?
That's just because it's so like all of this is what would happen in my mind.
Yeah. Then a motorcycle is like cutting between all the cars.
Motorcycle cop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. knocks his mirror off.
Yep.
He gets out. Everybody's, and there's like this tension. It's not just like normal sitting in traffic. Like once a bike goes by, he's kind of like, what the fuck? Gets out. Another guy gets out of his car and he's like, oh, did you see that?
Yeah. You know, like, are you like, okay? Like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Then is it behind them or up ahead?
Up ahead.
The explosion?
Yep.
There's a big explosion. So then people start running. And like, yeah. It's panic. More like panic. I mean,
it's panic.
It's not like huge fireball explosion, but like something definitely explodes. A garbage truck is driving down. What is it? Like three lanes of traffic?
I have four lanes of traffic.
Two in each direction.
Yep.
The garbage truck is just hauling ass down the middle of the street, knocking cars out of the way.
And you see a close up of the driver's side, and you see something just like freaking out on the driver's side.
Yeah. It's so scary. I like how Jerry just like jumps on that though.
He's very calm. Like,
they're clearing a path. Let's go. So he follows behind the truck, which is very smart. Yeah. All the other cars are getting knocked out of the way.
Likelihood of all of this happening.
Him having a clear shot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how they just managed to find an RV and drive away in it. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that would happen. There's a few things like that where I'm like, yeah, that's kind of bullshit. They are speeding behind the garbage truck and their car gets hit by an ambulance at an intersection.
Yep.
I can say from being in a car accident that that's exactly what it's like.
Like deafening?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're totally disoriented for like a short amount of time. Like it takes a minute to like realize what happened and then like look around, like, is everybody okay? But when you first like crash, that's exactly what it's like. And I remember when we saw this the first time, I told Greg that. Like that's identical. So they find an RV.
Trains in the station.
Oh my God. That like gives me goosebumps. Is that her doll?
That's her doll.
So the younger daughter, they're running to the RV.
And people are being like jumped on and like attacked by.
And they're being attacked. So
infected.
The zombies are like running like animals.
Yeah.
And like running over cars, jumping off cars. Like they, it's in really intense, very intense scene. And Jerry from being
in
like war zones, he is paying attention to all this.
He's able to like focus on stuff that like a normal person probably wouldn't even give a fuck about.
I would be peeing my pants.
And it does come up quite often that he like kind of like tunes in on certain things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's, even though all this like chaos is happening, he's still really observant. So daughter drops a toy. He picks it up and it starts doing
countdown. It's like a countdown train stuffed animal or something.
It looks like a little conductor.
Yeah.
He grabs it and it starts counting down. And as it's counting down, sees someone get bit. And is seeing how long it takes them to turn.
And as soon as, like, it counts down 12.
Yeah.
And whatever. And as soon as it hits, like, trains in the station, that's when you get an overview of the guy
And his
fully
eyes
turned.
Are, like, white and he's, like, joining the pack of zombies. That scene is...
Creeps me out.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know if it's on the radio or if you hear it overhead with people like communicating in the helicopters that the containment has failed.
Yeah, they've lost Philly.
The older daughter is having an asthma attack.
Because they forgot to grab her bag in the car.
Which
would happen.
Yeah, you'd lose stuff. They go into a store. The store is being looted.
Would absolutely happen.
Yeah.
If shit like this were happening.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Jerry and the daughter and one daughter go to the pharmacy to get drugs. the younger daughter and Karen.
Yeah.
They are just grabbing whatever, some canned goods, odds and ends. They left the RV just sitting in the parking lot, which I think was kind of a bad idea that one of them didn't guard it. And I don't know why, she should have, the Karen, I think, would have been left in the RV with the kids kind of defending it.
Yeah.
And
he would have went in.
I thought it was odd that they like brought the whole family in, other than that they wanted them to all stay together.
Yeah.
He gets the meds.
Mm-hmm. And there's a guy there like guarding the medication with a rifle.
I thought he had a pistol.
Or a pistol or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want everybody to just like loot all of the medication or something.
I thought he was
like,
there. I thought he was the pharmacist. And I thought that he was just there to loot too.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't think he was guarding it. I think it was more like, these are my drugs. Like, get the fuck away.
Okay.
And then he, like, sees...
He sees the kid.
The kid. And then, like, Jerry doesn't know where anything is. No. So the guy knows immediately where
her... Albuterol.
Yeah, her asthma medications would be. And then he, like, gives him some other stuff, too. Like, this will help.
Yeah.
So that...
Yeah.
Okay. That worked out good. That worked out good for them. Meanwhile,
Karen is being attacked by
two dudes.
Yeah.
This would very much happen, I think.
It would very much happen.
Total chaos. There was one creepy guy, too, that was like looking at the kid in the cart.
And like, I am one of those people that, as I've gotten older, I have no faith in humanity. So I know 100% that like
they would have taken her.
This would happen.
Oh, yeah. So the younger daughter's screaming. Jerry just sees the cart fly by with her in it and then hears his wife screaming. Well, he runs, there was a shotgun in the RV.
Mm-hmm.
Convenient.
Right.
I mean, whatever. There's a shotgun in the RV.
It's fine.
It's kind of like almost video game. Like, get to the RV. In the RV, there's a gun.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go to the store and loot the store.
And the gun's loaded.
Yes. He pulls a gun to, like, scare the guys off. Well, then the guys, he starts shooting right back at him.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry kills or shoots him.
He shoots him. He doesn't kill him. He shoots him, like, in the leg or something.
He shoots him, and then a policeman comes around the corner, and he's like, fuck, you know, and, like, raises his hands over his head.
And the cop just
walks right past him and is like, nope, he, like, grabs some cans of beans and is, like, does not care at all.
It's cool.
Which would also
happen.
I mean, how would you keep any sort of, like, law?
Yeah.
It would...
You wouldn't.
No, not at all.
But Jerry had been in contact with his UN friend, Terry, who, Jerry calls him and it's just like, hey, what do we know?
I could tell that I got really into it because I totally didn't write that down. Even though I knew it happened, like...
So Jerry calls Terry, and Terry's just like, well, we'll get you out. Like, we need you back.
I thought Terry called Jerry.
Oh, maybe.
And was like, we need you.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Maybe that's what happened.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's this, like, awesome fighter.
Yeah.
Survivalist man.
Which, seeing this film makes me wish I would have gotten into, like, government UN stuff.
No,
not at all. Because like I think about that, I'm like, in a survival situation, I have no skills. I would die.
Yeah,
I would absolutely die.
Me too.
I'm not a paramedic. I don't know how to do anything. Like, I can bandage stuff.
You're like, I don't know how to do anything. I would just die. We've had this conversation a lot about Walking Dead.
Yeah,
because Leanne says that too. She's like, I have no skills. Like, you have
maybe you develop skills.
You have to be able to do something. And she's like, well, I can organize things. I can organize really well. I'm like, sweet. That's your zombie outbreak thing.
Yeah.
Keep us organized, ready to go at all times.
I don't have anything. You guys would chain me. I would just be dead.
We wouldn't know. That implies that I'm Shane or Greg is Shane. We wouldn't chain you.
Okay.
Do you even know what that means? Do you even watch that season?
You know, I did. I watched up until like season 6.
Wasn't Mike just giving you shit about
Game of Thrones? But no, because that meme was a Lord of the Rings one, not Game of Thrones. They all kind of
Look the same.
They all kind of look the same. Long-haired, greasy guys.
That is very true.
Anyway.
All right. So Jerry tells them where they are. And Terry's like, can you get to this point? Can you get here? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to try to do that. Then Terry is like, we'll pick you up by a helicopter.
Yeah. In the morning.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
At daybreak.
If you're fucking still alive in the morning.
If you make it through the night, we'll come and save you. Which, I don't know. They kind of assume. First clue pops up.
It's so good.
Jerry's running with his family into an apartment building.
Yeah.
To hide. They figure they'll work their way up to the top floor or to the roof, get picked up in the morning. Or, you know, hide out there.
Yeah.
There's a man sitting on the street with booze.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the zombies just run right past him like he's not even there.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Well, you don't know if it's cirrhosis. But no. I mean, that's a good guess. Solid guess. They all run by him like he's not there. And
Jerry notices.
Mm-hmm. They get into the apartment building and
Can you imagine?
Hispanic family takes them in.
Like being terminally ill or something, seeing all this shit happen and being like, what the fuck?
And you're just sitting there. I also I'll get into it later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to just be one of these people, and you don't have to be terminally ill.
No, you can just like...
Spoiler, that's like the
well, anybody
yeah, I know.
Spoilers. Like
So this guy's just sitting there, and all of them run by. They get into the apartment building. Family takes them in. Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, and son. Son's Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
They basically hide out there for the night. The radio says stay inside. Jerry tries to explain to the family the... parents don't speak English.
No.
So they're using their son as like the translator. He tries to explain to them that if they stay, they'll die.
Yeah.
They need to keep moving, mm-hmm. even though the radio said stay indoors.
Yeah.
The parents decide to stay. Well, wife wants to leave with them. Husband, no, we're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jerry makes a bayonet. Or bayonet. You know, he like tapes a knife to the end of his shotgun. And then he very smartly duct tapes magazines over his arms as like shields.
Yeah.
So smart. Because he knows at this point, if you get bit, you turn.
Yeah.
That's out like right away. This scene is so suspenseful.
Yes. It's like the scene in 28 Days Later when they're running up the apartment building and Selena's just like, run!
Or I would compare it to 28 Days Later when they're in the tunnel.
Yes! Oh,
changing the tire. I feel it in my chest. Like just thinking
about
it. I
feel it in my core.
Oh my God. Did Mike watch this too or no?
Yeah, fun story. We had a TV in the silo that we stayed at for our anniversary. They didn't have many movies, so we bought World War Z in like the $5 bin.
And that was your romantic, mm-hmm. we're staying in a silo in the countryside. Let's watch World War Z.
Yeah, it was perfect. Okay. I was like, if the zombie apocalypse happens, like we would just die in the silo.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there like a trapdoor thing over
the stairs?
There was
a trapdoor. Yeah, I think we'd be fine.
You put the trapdoor down, you slide the bed over the top of it.
Be fine.
You wouldn't have any food, but I mean,
We had Gardettos. We'd be fine.
Oh, and like a Nalgene full
Gatorade.
Of water. Yeah. We'll be fine for at least a day.
I could ration the rye bits.
Ew. No, I would starve before I ate those things.
They make like bags of those.
Oh,
just the rye bits.
The chips. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant those, the white, whatever the white things are.
Oh, like the pretzel-y things?
No, the pretzels are good and the rye chips are good. And then there's those other stupid sesame things that are.
Yeah.
I lick them and then I throw them out.
You're so weird. I can't say anything though because I lick Doritos and then eat them.
I lick all the cheese off? Mm-hmm.
And then I eat them.
I mean, then you're eating a soggy chip that you licked on.
Whatever.
That's how
kittens.
I was gonna say that's how my cats eat chips. They just lick all the stuff off of them, and then they're like, okay. Which my sheets are on my side of the bed. Sheets are stained because I was feeding Jackie Cheez-Its in bed, and he just licked them, so they got all soggy. And then I'd throw them out, but now there's like little permanent Cheeto stains, Cheez-It stains.
Memories.
Yeah, adorable.
Anyway,
so onward.
Magazines on the forearms.
So they're going up the stairs. There's zombies following them. Quick behind. The apartment that they were in, pounding on the door. Zombies break in there.
Yeah, they go, like, the parents go to, like, move stuff in front of the door. And the mom is just like, I can't believe we didn't go with them. And they're kind of arguing. And then they see the door kind of, like, bang in.
You don't see, well, you know what happens to them. You don't actually see what happens to them. But somehow, Tommy makes it out of there.
Yep.
And
Tommy.
How old did you say he is?
Younger than Hayden. I would say like 11, 10 or 11 maybe.
Yeah. He's a young kid.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Hayden's age.
No.
Younger?
I think he's younger, yeah. Right. All the kids are like under 10. Or 11, wouldn't you say?
I would say under 13. The oldest daughter looks,
I suppose,
maybe 12, 13.
Well, they run for the roof, and they have flares.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the zombies chasing after them. Well, then all of a sudden, freaking Tommy shows up. So,
hey, guys.
Yeah. They make it to the roof. The helicopter's, like, coming in, like, looking for them. They get a flare up there, so they know. Jerry's holding the door.
Well, Jerry got, like, attacked.
He got attacked.
And blood, like, got on his face.
Yes.
And so he knows. Yeah. He is on the ground, like, on the grate in the hallway. Finally gets up, goes and shuts the door, runs to the side of the building to jump off.
And stands on the ledge and counts.
Yeah.
So that if he turns, he can just chuck himself off the roof.
And he's like, okay, cool. Like, it got in my mouth, but, like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so then you see the helicopter land, and Jerry goes and, like, is holding the door now. And you see so the dad, like, Tommy's dad, like, breaking the glass and, like, biting on his forearm, his forearm magazine. And then all of a sudden, Jerry just lets go of the door and bolts towards the helicopter.
Once his family is in the helicopter and they're all safe, there's a couple guys that get out with, like, machine guns. And he books it, and they're shooting the zombies behind him.
Yep.
Poor Tommy sees his dad and mom, I think,
and
too.
And mom, yeah.
They get away. Woo! Close call.
And all of these zombies are, like, jumping towards the helicopter.
Yeah, they're just flying off the roof. They have no... They don't care.
They don't care.
They... Helicopter takes them to a battleship, which is 200 miles off the coast of New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the command center. And he essentially gets conned into working.
Yeah.
They lay it out like only essential people can be here.
And their families.
And even the family gets some grief from being there. Like, the military guys are like, oh, there's too many people on this boat, whatever. So the only way you're staying on that boat is if you have somebody working.
Is if you have a job.
Yeah.
Or, you have somebody working.
So Jerry tells his wife, like, the only way, I have to go back to work. That's the only way I can keep you guys safe.
Yeah. And as they're talking to, Terry is just like, Jerry is talking to him and stuff, and Jerry's just like, well, what about the president? And Terry's like, the president's dead. Like, Washington fell, like, an hour ago.
Yeah.
President's dead, vice president, secretary of state, like, all of these high officials
nobody
are gone.
Nobody made it.
Ugh. Wild.
The So Jerry's job is to go and find the source of the outbreak.
Which is in North Korea. Well, he has to, I think it's North Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's going to North Korea to South Korea.
South Korea to Camp Humphreys, which is actually
a place.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Jerry and Terry are talking, you kind of get like the lowdown of what all these scientists think it is.
Yeah.
And this young scientist is just like, oh, well, it all comes back to the Spanish flu. And then one guy is like, well, you heard, like, you read the memo from Humphreys and we all read it. It said zombies.
Yeah. And then they kind of laugh and roll their eyes. And the young virologist. I can't even say it, let alone.
Andrew. High up scientist.
Well, just, yeah, scientist. Germ scientist. They're taking him. So Jerry's kind of like, he's not leading it.
Like the soldiers that are with them are leading it, but he's kind of like second.
Protecting.
Yeah.
The scientist. They're running out of gas. They land on the base.
Yeah. And during the flyover, like Andrew, the scientist, has never been anywhere like this.
Yeah.
He's greener than green, whatever. And so Jerry is telling him, like, when we land, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Pay attention to their voices, pay attention to their boots, and just follow them.
Yeah.
And then Andrew goes into this big thing where he's just like, Mother Nature is a serial killer. Like, there's like chinks in armor. Like, I can't remember the whole speech, but
the way he's talking, it does. He talks about how viruses will like hide their,
in plain sight, hide
their flaws.
Yeah.
Or their weaknesses. So this, like, he's positive he's going to figure it out.
100%. And he ends the speech by saying, Mother Nature's a bitch.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. Can be. They land. Military guys out first, out of this like cargo plane. There's a little bit of drama.
Here's some things.
And the scientist
100% would happen.
Slips and shoots himself.
He is on the walkway coming out of the plane.
I don't know why they would give him a gun to begin
with. They gave him a gun. I don't know. He would end up either shooting himself or shooting someone else. But Jerry is telling him, keep your finger off the trigger unless you intend to shoot.
Yeah.
And doesn't do that. Freaks out when he sees a zombie, bolts to the back of the plane, slips, shoots himself in the face.
Like,
poor guy.
I mean, he was on the ground for literally 5 seconds before he shoots himself.
Yep.
They find out at that point that they're drawn to noise.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess they never had the opportunity to, like, find that out before.
No.
They find out, once they're taken into the base, they find out that the doctor that had worked there had checked on a soldier that was off base.
I really like it, too, when they first get there, and Jerry's just like, well, we lost the scientist. And the captain there, Captain Speak, is like, well, shit happens. And Jerry's just like, the doctor would strongly agree with you.
Yeah. You find out there's more clues here. There's one guy that has a pretty significant limp, one of the military guys, and the zombies don't go after him at all. Why? Yeah. They don't know.
Nope.
Then that's when there's the CIA agent who is imprisoned there.
Yeah, they find out that the doctor that was tied to the bed had gone to was in India treating a patient who had been bit or something in a field. They yeah. don't necessarily know the entire story.
In India? I thought he was just like off the base.
Was he off base?
Yeah.
Okay. They bring the doctor back, tie him to the bed, and then all of these other people that were helping him get bit and infected, and they lock the door up and just torch the place.
Yeah.
And so then Jerry's just like, well, who's in charge here? And the guy, like Captain Speak, is just like, well, he's right there in all the rubble. And you just see like two gross fingers,
like
fingers
moving.
It's gross.
That was pretty gross.
So, yeah, that's when Captain Speak takes him to the CIA agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had pulled out all his teeth, and he said that everyone in North Korea pulled out all their teeth so that they couldn't bite each other.
24 hours.
Yeah.
24 million people.
Pulled out all their teeth.
Yep.
No. I'm just, no. No.
No bite. No spread.
Yeah, yeah, it was really creepy. He's a little loony. He says to go to Jerusalem because, mm-hmm. like, a week before the outbreak, they had just finished building, like, a giant wall.
Walls that they had been working on for a millennia, practically. Yeah. Like, something crazy.
And then they just, like, powered through to finish it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They take their bicycles. This is how they get around.
So before they do this, though, and this is my favorite line in the entire movie, Captain Speak is, like, given his, like, pep talk and stuff. And he's like, all right, we're going to go out there. We're going to fuel him up, and we're going to haul our ass back. And he says, the spine's divine, but those knees work just fine. Roll out. It's like, it's just great. I watch it on like repeat every once in a while if I need a pep talk.
It was also sad when all the people on the base were asking Jerry, mm-hmm. like, what about Detroit? What about Atlanta?
Los
what
about Angeles? Like all these places.
Like,
he doesn't have any information.
Nothing.
Like,
he just assumes it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
While he's getting ready to do this, he calls his wife.
Yep.
It breaks up.
If you were Karen and you knew that your husband...
We don't have to get into that.
Call back?
No.
No, not at all. I would just wait for his phone call. Because you don't know what kind of shit he's in.
And he wouldn't have his phone on all the time to save the battery. He would just turn it on when he needed to use it.
Yeah.
Because they have these like big... like. Satellite phone mm-hmm. things. They're not like regular cell phones. As they're biking, his phone rings, alerting all of the zombies to where they are.
Yep.
They barely make it out of there.
Yeah.
Like, just barely. A lot of the people die that are helping them.
Yeah. Captain Speed gets bit.
Yeah.
And he just shoots himself.
Mm-hmm.
And two of his soldiers are like, we have eyes on you. Let us know when. And he's just like, nope, I got it, boys. And he just shoots himself. It's so sad. But
so
they
sad.
End up fueling up. And Jerry's like in the cockpit with the pilot. And the zombies are like overtaking
the plane. But as they take off with the hatch open and they like do a steep climb and mm-hmm. all the zombies fall to the back.
Yeah. It's just such a sad part because I really liked him.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of like, well, it better be worth it kind of thing. Like,
and he's pretty easy on the eyes.
Yeah. He's not
he's pretty cute.
Not difficult to look at.
No.
He gets to Jerusalem. So they park the plane's at the airport, and then they have to take a helicopter into the actual city.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the city, I'm just, like, doing the setup. There's huge walls.
Yes.
And then there's fenced-in tunnels that they're bringing buses in, and people get off the bus, and then they have to go through another, like, fenced-in tunnel mm-hmm. where they do, like, a health check before being released into the city.
Yeah. Which, with how fast this virus goes, I can't imagine you would have to do that thorough of a health check.
No.
You know, It's not like Walking Dead where you could be bit and like...
I kind of wonder too, though, if there'd be people like in 28 weeks later that could like carry it.
But not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like the mom. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a slow, like she was infected, but she could still keep herself together.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wonder if there'd be people like that. He talks to like the head of the city person in charge.
Yes.
Jerry meets up with him.
I have a fun fact about that as soon as you get done.
The 10th man. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're going to talk about? Yeah. I'll let you say it then because I... Yeah.
Okay. So the head guy talks to Jerry and is just like, well, we have a system set up where if we have 10 people and if 9 people all agree, then it's the job of the 10th person to disagree and to go with complete crazy... situation.
So they had intercepted that same email about
it was a general in India that sent warning of
that zombies. Sent warning about zombies, and nobody paid any attention to it. But in this scenario, he was the 9th or the 10th man that had to argue the possibility of a zombie outbreak.
Yeah,
obviously he argued his point because they finished the walls. Because Jerry, like, couldn't believe it. He's like, how, like, you just finished them when this outbreak happened. Like, how did you know? Is there, like, some secret? And he's like, well, we got the email and we talked it out and then we built the walls. Yep. Like,
so the Israeli Military Intelligence Directorate does have a devil's advocate office. And it's to explore alternative assumptions and worst case scenarios. So intelligence... assessments don't fall victim to groupthink.
That's pretty smart.
Yes. It's very smart.
To not just like fall into the trap of agreeing with everything. Like, oh, well, you guys think it? Okay, well, I'm going to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry's also surprised that they're letting in so many people into the city that's already full of people.
Yeah, and the guy's thing with that was like, well, one less...
Yeah, every human they save is one less that they have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Again, very smart.
The people that are waiting to get in, that are like going through the security checks, basically, are singing.
You would think if they got the memo about zombies that they would get the memo about noise, but maybe not.
I don't know. They... are singing, well, it seems like everyone knows whatever the fuck song this is. Like, everyone starts singing it, and it's really loud.
I didn't look it up.
I didn't either.
Guessing.
It's some sort of, like, hymn, I'm sure. Yeah. But they're all singing. People start singing it over, like,
the loudspeakers. It's just a disaster.
And then it's a popular Walmart Black Friday meme. They start... The zombies outside the wall,
like ants,
just start piling up like ants, just like crushing each other and climbing over each other to get to the top. And the thing
is
about this
is that it only takes one. It only takes one.
Oh, yeah. More than one fall in, though.
Yeah, more than one fall in.
This was a kind of panic mode where you could tell that Jerry had been in situations where he needed to be really observant because he starts looking around. And they're singing and it's loud. And then you see random military guys like book it this way or book it that way. And he picks up on it.
And he's like, we need to go.
And is like, where, like, what's happening? Yeah. Well, then they look up at the wall and the zombies start flying in.
It's just
And then
chaos.
It's like crazy, get the fuck out of the city. Mm-hmm. Like, he's running with the female soldier.
Her name, the actress, the main actress in this is Daniela Cortez. She plays Segan, which actually means lieutenant in, I can't remember what language, but she like, I watched an interview and she chuckled about that. Okay. Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She was in Incitement and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. You can look it up on IMDb.
just look it up. Mm-hmm. Look it up. So she is tasked with getting him out of the city, getting him back to the helicopter and getting him to the plane.
There are a couple women that are with him that are task to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once again, crazy suspense, trying to get out of the city. They go through this tunnel where it's fencing over the top, and the zombies are falling in. There's holes where they're ripping people up through the fence. Like, it's crazy.
I'm getting a panic attack thinking about it.
They're almost out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Greg wrote in my notes, and I'm not even going to read that.
What did he write?
It's right there.
Oh God. No, don't.
I'm not reading that.
You don't need to read that.
You're so fucking funny, Greg. Anyway.
Sorry, folks.
He notices that once again, there's a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And he's standing in a hall or like a little roadway narrower than this room. And the zombies just all run right past him. Mm-hmm. And he stands there.
Yep.
He actually puts his hands like up over his face and like crouches down. And they run around him like he's nothing.
Yep.
That is when the soldier who's escorting him, Segan, gets mm-hmm. bit. She gets bit on the hand.
Yeah.
He
instinctively,
without hesitating, she's like holding her gun, and then she takes her hand off of her gun and shows a bite.
Like holding it
a
out.
A bit hand, and she's holding it out. He grabs the machete off of her belt and just hacks her hand off, which I'm glad that they didn't, that wasn't gory. You know that he did it.
Yes. They wanted more blood.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
But like, I'm glad that I didn't have to see her get her hand hacked off.
Yes.
We just watched the new Texas Chainsaw and I'm like over gore for a little bit.
We can talk about it after.
Did you watch it?
I haven't, but I want to hear about it.
Oh, it's good.
Okay. I heard very it very gory.
It's good if you just want a gory slasher.
Okay.
Yeah. Storyline is very thin, and I wanted there to be more.
I don't expect there to be a story in a lot of Texas Chainsaw.
All of the other Texas Chainsaws had a better story than this one.
Ooh.
All of them.
Okay.
Even the one with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger.
Yes! Oh my God.
He cuts her hand off, bandages it up. They go running. They're playing leaves because he's not fucking sticking around there. Because there's both people trying to get on planes and the freaking zombies running around.
They, like, chase a plane down. They, like, stop in front of the plane and aim a gun at it and are like, no, we need to get out of here.
So they're like, we're going.
It's Segan and I think, like,
two other people.
Yeah. And Jerry.
Jerry's kind of like holding her up because he just freaking cut her hand off.
Trauma, yeah.
So they like stop the plane at gunpoint and they get let on. Ladder drops down and they get on the plane. You think they're safe. I didn't like this part. I thought it was dumb. It was good, scary, but dumb.
I will agree with you. So Jerry is talking to Segan and it's just like, look at my face. You're going to be fine. You're alive. It's going to be okay. And he's taking like vodka single shooters out and like dumping on her hand. And
While
she's drinking them. And he's just like, you're going to be fine. You lived. And she was like, how did you know it would work? And he's just like, I didn't.
I mean, either way, he was going to have to kill her. Whether, you know what I mean? Like, it was, why not?
And she's just like, all right.
See, I liked that. And then this is when
they have like a mutual respect now.
Yeah. Jerry figures it out at this point mm-hmm. or gets his idea.
Yeah.
Because she says, you know, I'm not a soldier anymore, whatever. Now I'm just a liability. And then it's like a light bulb goes off over his head.
Yeah.
Like
he like kisses her forehead and it's like, thank you.
Yeah. What I want to know, how is anyone sleeping on this plane?
I would be wide awake.
I would be wide awake for days, probably stress vomiting. I don't know how anyone could like be asleep. And the whole plane is sleeping.
Yeah.
Everyone's asleep.
Maybe they just think that they're going to be okay.
And everything's so it's like fine. The relief.
So it's like, oh, like, we're in the air.
We're safe now.
Everything's fine.
This is the part that I thought was stupid. There was one on the plane, like in the storage.
In the bathroom.
How?
He was in the bathroom. So,
like, I'd like to read some, like, fan theory on this. How was there one in the bathroom that wasn't making a shit ton of noise in there trying to break out?
Let's set the scene.
Okay. See, that's kind of what I thought, too. I didn't think it was the bathroom because it was, like, a storage area.
Because she knocks and, like, tries to, like, get in there when they're landing. But maybe not.
Because you kind of see...
Maybe it was storage.
I didn't rewind it. Yeah. Rewind it. I didn't run it back.
What year is this?
I don't know. But when the wheels of the plane are, like, going up, I think there was one on there. Okay. But even then, I don't think there's any way for it to, like, work its way through the plane and, like, get out.
That's why I think it's the bathroom, because she, like, knocks. So anyway, all these people are sleeping. Wonderful. Great. There's a little doggy that goes and, like, jumps off of its owner's lap and goes and starts barking at the whatever door it is. And the stewardess is like, knock, knock. No one answers. She tries to open the door. No one comes to the door. Then she finally opens the door, and there's a fucking zombie.
Yeah, that jumps out and immediately gets her. You know what's sad?
The dog.
I just realized that the doggie died in the plane crash, too.
Yeah. The fuck? I'm more sad about that than anything that happened.
All this is going on in the back of the plane.
Yes. Jerry is up at, like, the front.
Everyone in the front's sleeping or sitting quietly. All this chaos starts happening in back. Yeah. And he, like, peeks around the curtain, which makes sense because the zombies aren't going to run through that curtain if they don't hear anything. They're just going to keep attacking each other in the back.
And before this, like, Jerry, like, gives his phone to the captain, and Jerry's just like, is there a World Health or, like, is there a WHO building anywhere near here? Like, we need to get
to this place. He gets Terry on the phone. Terry's talking to the pilot. Mm-hmm. That's when the phone dies.
Yeah.
That's the end of the battery.
Then crazy back of the plane
then
shit.
Then crazy back of the plane. Yeah.
It's not a terrible idea, but
they
so
take
many things could go
suitcases
wrong.
Suitcases and start piling them up as, like, a little barricade. One guy drops a suitcase, like, pushes it a little too hard, and it falls down on the other side of the pile, alerting all the zombies.
It's like playing murder Jenga. Like,
yeah. Ugh. I feel like they could have maybe done something a little bit better, but anyway, the zombies come and get them too, and Jerry, they take her machete and they take his gun when they get
she
on the plane.
Keeps a pistol,
but she has a pistol. Mm-hmm.
Good
and,
on her.
And they have a grenade.
And a grenade.
So the plane is, like, not quite landing, but they've, like, begun their descent or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jerry chucks a grenade into all the zombies.
Yeah, so she's, like, shooting, and he pulls the grenade and, like, looks up at her, and, like, they have a moment. And
where they're like, hey, we're probably going to die.
Yeah,
this
let's
is
just
it.
Do it.
Throws a grenade. Well, they get in their seats, buckle in, and plane crashes pretty horribly. Well, a hole gets blown in the side of the plane, and all the zombies and everything starts getting sucked out of the plane.
Yeah.
It crashes. What?
I was looking at my notes because I took, yeah, never mind. Continue.
Okay. The plane crashes. When Jerry wakes up, there's nobody around him. And he's got a big hunk of metal going through, like, his side, sticking out his back. Yeah. And he,
like,
is hanging in a seatbelt. So when he unbuckles the belt, he falls. And I cannot
imagine
the
pain. I have stubbed my toe when I've had an ingrown nail, and I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah, like, and he has this imagine. Big jagged piece of metal sticking through him, and he falls, like, 10 feet onto the ground. Anyway, the girl is not next to him anymore.
No.
Once he falls, he kind of gets up, and she's standing there.
Yeah, she's a badass. Like, she's just
yeah
a great partner.
they make it, they walk to the WHO
building. And it's crazy to me because they're like walking through like these towns and stuff. And like there are people like looking out the window that just like shut blinds.
They're like, we're not going to fucking deal with that at all. They make it there. He wakes up and he's he's restrained on the table. He's not like handcuffed to it, but they have like restraints holding him down.
Yeah.
And he starts freaking out. It turns out, well, they are obviously suspicious of who these people are.
Peter Capaldi is standing there, like, asking him questions. And then the head WHO guy is, like, behind him.
Yeah.
And Jerry is like, why are you asking me the questions? Like, I want to talk to that guy. And Peter Capaldi is just like, no. And Jerry's like, well, that guy, he's the guy in charge.
Yeah.
Tricky investigative tactics.
Well, they have his phone. And they somehow charge it.
Yeah, they charge it. Universal
charger.
And he's been out for 3 days, so he's, like, really freaking out.
In this 3 days, Terry found out that their plane went down.
Yeah.
They've had no contact with him for 3 days. So they, like, kick his family off
and,
the boat.
And Terry is just like, well, Jerry's, like, really resilient. Like, he could have potentially survived.
Yeah. But no. And, I mean, I kind of get that because they need space.
Yeah.
They get sent to what? Like Greenland?
Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm. Where they have a settlement or like a little colony of survivors there. Yeah. Jerry says, well, call this number or, you know, call the number in the phone.
Yeah.
So Terry says who he is and then it's Karen didn't answer.
Yeah.
And that's what he's like, where's Karen? And yeah.
Yeah. And Terry's just like, I tried. Like.
So he talks to the doctors that are all there. The scientists.
The doctor.
And he says, well, what about viruses? And they're like, oh, we've tried this and we've tried that. And he's like, no, like infecting a healthy person.
Yeah.
And then that's like, that's the game changer. And they figure out that the zombie virus needs a healthy host. So if they can infect themselves with something to be unhealthy, they're essentially camouflaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says that he's seen them run by, like, water around a stone in a river.
Yeah.
Like, so that's their plan. Of course, all of the viruses that they would need
are in doing research, B-Wing.
Yeah. Which are in, like, a whole nother section of the building. Had a lot of problems with this part.
I have a huge problem with this part.
Why didn't they go outside to wherever the fuck B-Wing is, open a door, and then, like, set off a car alarm outside, and then all of the zombies would run outside, and then they could shut the door, and they'd have, 5 or 10 left in that side of the building?
I had a problem.
No, they have to fight them.
Yes. They watched a video on how the infection started in B-Wing. Okay?
Yeah.
A world-renowned virologist pricks himself with a deadly pathogen.
Yes.
And is infected. You weren't wearing, like, the stick gloves?
I mean, I've seen, like, Outbreak. Like, why isn't he in one of those, like, big suits?
If you had recordings and video evidence of this highly contagious virus, why the fuck weren't you in PPE attire?
Like, I have no idea.
Why are you just in a fucking lab coat with like regular lab gloves on?
That bothered me a lot.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Bothers me. Yeah, why didn't they draw them outside? So that they'd have less to deal with.
Right.
That was annoying. It was very video game-like, which I thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
They're
handed an axe.
And a baseball bat.
And a baseball bat. And this is from Zombie Survival Guide. Well, both have their, whatever.
I wrote advantages?
Yes. Yes.
As you're rustling your papers.
I am. There are merits to each. And that's what one of the guys says.
They And they're like walking through these halls and there's zombies in the hall, but they're still kind of like walking.
They're dormant.
Yeah, but they're walking within like 10 feet of them.
And they don't smell them or like anything.
And they're making noise. Mm-hmm. They're walking in shoes on tile floors, yeah. Opening and closing doors.
Yeah, it's Segan, Jerry, and the head who guy.
Yeah. This is, you know, one of those stressful scenes where, okay, obviously they wake up, the zombies, when there's like prey around.
Which it's wild that they didn't like send one of, well, no, because Segan's a badass even with one hand. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was just like, why didn't they send like one of the other dude doctors? But I would trust Segan because with no hands.
I was going to say, she's a trained.
Yeah.
Military person. Yeah,
that's true.
Not like a lab doctor, you know?
A paper pusher. No, just kidding. They're all like, they're renowned scientists. Yeah. I mean, they work at WHO.
So obviously, the zombies wake up. Segan shoots a couple of them. Then it's like chaos. Then they're like running around. Jerry gets into the room with all the drugs.
Yes.
But there's no doctor with him, so he doesn't know what any of the drugs are.
And they are watching him, like, on the camera. Because by this point, Segan and the head guy have made it back to the main area.
Yes. They make it back. It's very, like, suspenseful. Yes. That they're running. There's zombies chasing them. They get back into, like, the safe office zone. Mm-hmm.
Into the safe zone.
Yeah.
Into the green area.
Yes.
If you're video game. But yeah, they're watching him on the camera, and they're like, oh God, please don't take from the left cabinet.
Because this is another thing, he gets into the room, not the room with all the drugs, because that's locked, and he gets a phone call from one of the doctors in the office, and she says, this is the door code.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses the door code, gets in. Door shuts and locks behind him. Then I think this is the scariest zombie for me.
Yes.
Is face up against the glass, like chattering
it's the head, his teeth. It's the head doctor.
Yeah.
That he's like infected.
Like chomping his teeth at the glass. Ugh. Ruby does that when she wants to go outside and it's real cute. She like chomps her teeth at you. Anyway.
Greg does that too, and he does an impeccable impression.
It's scary. He knows that it scares me. That's why he does it. Doctor's outside. He's trapped inside. There's 20 bazillion little vials of drugs.
They're not labeled with like a common name.
Labeled?
It's all just like, none of them say like yellow fever on it or meningitis. Like,
yeah, none of them are labeled. So he's just like, he has a tin and he's like a...
He's just like piled in vials and was just like, sure. Yeah,
he's just taken some of everything. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Nah.
Well, then at one point, he holds up a board that he wrote on, like, tell my wife and kids I love them. Why don't they figure something out where...
Like, why doesn't he hold up a vial and they read it and they like move the camera up and down or something?
Or I was thinking, if he's in there, he could be like left, you know, with an arrow ? And then they could call and just like let it ring. And then he'd be like, okay, I go left.
Yeah.
Like they're all very, very smart people.
They didn't really like work that out. Like they thought that he could just go in and grab the vials and like not be bothered by all of these things. Which
True.
Is silly.
That's
it's stupid.
Silly.
But I think that they thought he would get in there, get the vials, and then, like, haul ass.
Next thing,
back.
He grabs a random... So he's going to experiment on himself.
Fine.
He opens a drawer, and there's, like, one unwrapped syringe in the drawer.
That's not a thing.
No!
From what I understand from the medical community, that's not a thing.
No.
And my knowledge is not that vast, but...
Let's just keep all these, like, unwrapped sharps in a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a thing.
Sharps.
Well, that's what they say, like, in bathrooms, there's, like, a sharps container.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, in the doctor's office, there's the container. Anyway, it's not like I fucking know, but...
But
there's no cap on... Oops, I just fucking punched the mic. There's no cap on it, even.
Fucking bullshit.
It's because I have to act it out with my hands.
Yes.
There's no cap. He just pulls a syringe out of the drawer and, like, stabs himself in the arm.
You don't know what the fuck that syringe was?
No idea. He doesn't know this dirty, rusty syringe that's been laying in this drawer collecting dust. He doesn't know what it was used for before.
No.
And then he just injects himself with whatever. Well, then, what does he do? Walks right out of there.
Yeah, he waits, I think, however long. Yeah,
he sits around for a little bit and then opens the door and the zombie comes in.
Charging in.
And is, like, looking for him, doesn't see him. Amazing.
Mind blown.
Then, I really like this part. So he has this, like, tub of meds and he's walking back out the way he came and he, you know, snags a Pepsi from the Pepsi machine. Which was funny because all day long I've been craving a Pepsi so bad. So when I saw him drinking that, I'm like, I hate you.
I hate you. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. Drinking a Pepsi when I want one.
How dare you?
He kicks the machine. All the Pepsis go flooding out all over the ground. And he gets back to the walkway, which was from A to B buildings, I guess.
Yeah.
That's all packed up full of zombies. They hear the noise and they just run right past him. He just stands in the middle of it.
Kind of like water over a stone in a river.
Exactly. Amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. And then it shows one of the doctors, like, injecting him with the vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the vaccine for what? Whatever he gave himself?
I think it was yellow fever. Or okay. It was like...
I thought it was when they, so then, you know, they call, they save the day. Everybody knows that this is like how to not be infected or at least camouflage yourself so that you can fight.
Yeah.
I think they're doing like low
meningitis.
Yeah. Low dose meningitis. Mm-hmm. And that's like the big, like, mass produced one. I want to know too, why they didn't do like an aerosol spray.
Yeah.
That you could just like smell quick and you get whatever. But I guess
I don't know how viruses work.
we're very, very, I'm not smart.
A virologist.
Then he's reunited in Nova Scotia with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows like the turn of events, like different areas of the world, like combating the zombies, yeah, like, in different ways.
Like they're dropping down the meningitis to like, like places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all over the place.
Yeah. So this was supposed to be a trilogy.
And it's proven to be largely effective, but I'm wondering about like how it got fucked
You're
up.
You're like, oh, I'm good. I just got whatever, my vaccination.
They're like eating a sandwich, walking down the street. Oh shit.
And then you just get swarmed.
You just get swarmed.
I would be very skeptical.
I would be very skeptical. But they're who
like,
knows?
They give you the vaccine and they're like, you're good. You can just walk wherever you want and do whatever you want. I'd be like, you go first.
You try this out first and then I'll see if it
obviously,
works out.
Obviously, I don't have to ask you if you like it because I know you like this movie a lot.
I fucking love this movie. Love the movie. Love the book.
Yes.
Different reasons.
You respect them for their differences.
I respect them for their differences.
I would definitely recommend it. I didn't think... It was horribly gory.
No.
Compared to some of the other stuff that we've watched.
Yeah. And
it could have been way worse.
I like these zombies, but for different reasons. So Walking Dead zombies, that would just be a fucking painful way to go. It would just be awful.
Oh, to be bit and like...
And slowly turn. Or to be slowly torn apart like the guy in the revolving door. Like,
God, you haven't watched it in forever.
I haven't.
That's like season 3 or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would just be awful.
Well, plus in Walking Dead, when you die, everyone is infected. So if you just die of old age, you're going to come back as one.
Just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Just awful. At least in this, and they're fast zombies, which I hate. And I don't agree with that zombie concept, but that's another time.
Yeah.
But it's quick.
It did make Dawn of the Dead a lot scarier.
Fucking yes, it did. Yes, it did. We should do the new one.
Ooh, yeah.
At some point.
I haven't made a... we need to make lists again. I have been pretty bad about that. So we just...
But yeah, fast zombies just don't make any sense to me. But I would, if I had to choose a way to go zombie-wise, it would be World War Z. Because you're bit and you're turned.
Like, and they don't really seem to like rip people apart either.
No.
They just want to bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. I liked it. I would recommend it for sure.
Yeah. And the book.
And the book.
Read the book because it's real good. So yeah, that's World War Z. I know that it got like not good reviews by the people that like the book.
Oh, I know, well, that. Yeah.
But like, it's at the time it was Brad Pitt's highest grossing movie,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
Did you know that it was also, it's banned in China?
What? Why?
I didn't know that until I started reading about this stuff. I didn't know that China had such strict censorship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I knew there was censorship, but to the point where like some movies are so like violent that they just can't even show them there because they edit everything.
Oh, so like, yeah.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, and, but there's a whole list, and then there's a list of edited films where they're like, they change the end. Like, they change the end of Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't Weird. Know. I want to see the alternate ending.
I want to see altered versions.
The Chinese ending. And then when they subtitle stuff, they change the words to make it like less violent.
That's wild to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see the censored version just to like see how they change it and stuff.
Well, no, they
banned it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't available. And that had to do to, that changes what production studios will pick a film up because China's such a huge market.
Oh yeah. I suppose.
That, you know, Paramount won't pick up a movie that they can't sell to China just because there's so many. That
kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Just because think about, like, all of the good movies that, like, aren't around because they can't be shown in China.
Well, I mean, they're still, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not picked up by, like, big companies.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's my bit.
Well, if you like what you hear, or don't like, as I usually say, follow us on Instagram. It's Slasher Movie Review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, Slasher Movie Review, and a web page, slashermoviereview.com.
Yeah?
.org. .net.
All right, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk to you later. Wow, am I on the phone?
Wow. We'll
talk to you later.
Come on back now. Have a great week, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.